Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Pretty cold here on the East Coast. Welcome to another edition of At Home with Victoria, 8 o'clock and 44 degrees here. I am Michael Kay, your entertainment co-host for tonight. Our lovely news lady Victoria is off. She had a little dental surgery today, and although I would have thought it would be a hilarious show to have her a little drugged up and putting in her two cents, she opted to go ahead and take tonight off. So get well soon, Victoria. Tonight we have a great show for you. Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson will be joining us. She is a fellow radio host here on the Blog Talk Radio Network with a New Day show. She's a certified life coach, and her recent trip to Jamaica has proved very, very interesting, so she'll be talking about that. Also, a little later, we'll be listening to the fantastic music of Rexton Lee, Alabama born, now living in Nashville, climbing up the Nashville charts, brilliant voice, and an all-around great guy. So we're going to start with a little music from Rexton Lee, and when we get back, Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson will be in the house. This is Rexton Lee with You Don't Know What It's Like.
There's a light, a certain kind of light, it's never shone on me. I want my life to be live with you, just you. There's a way, they all say, to do each and every little thing. But what good does it bring if I ain't got you, if I ain't got you? Baby, you don't know what it's like. Baby, love somebody, to love somebody the way I love you. In my head, I see your face again. I know my friend. You ain't gotta be so blind. I'm blind, so, so blind. I'm a man, can't you see what I am? I live and breathe for you. But what good does it do if I ain't got you, if I ain't got you? Baby, you don't know what it's like. Baby, you don't know what it's like to love somebody, to love somebody the way I love you.
was Rex Stanley with You Don't Know What It's Like. I got a little involved with the music. I forgot to go ahead and click on the little button. Rex will be joining us a little bit later on, but joining us now is Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson, fantastic friend of mine. Daphne, how are you tonight?
I am wonderful, Michael Kent. How are you?
I'm fantastic. What did you think of Rexton's song?
Oh, my God. I tell you, that song, you know, you remember My Special Friend Died, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And that was one of our favorite songs, but Rex wasn't the person who sang it. I don't remember who, but it just brought back some memories.
Oh, I'm happy. I hope there were fond ones.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely. Yes. However, love, how are you?
I am wonderful. I'm excited. I had surgery a few weeks ago, went back to my doctors today, got good news, so I'm ready to kick rock and roll again, and I'm just so thankful how God is faithful and look after each of us, because, you know, none of us likes when anything is not going right in our bodies, and doesn't matter how strong you are, you sit back and you're thinking, what if, so...
Yeah.
Today when I got the double green light, I've been dancing. I'm dancing in my car driving home. I'm home dancing, and I'm just having me a good old time and thanking God. So,
fantastic. Fantastic. Huge congratulations on the success of your show here on Blog Talk Radio. I've listened to it a dozen times, and I'm happy that you're returning to our show. But how is your show going success-wise? I mean, the guests you're getting are fantastic.
I am so excited. A few months ago, you all know that I have a tight spiritual relationship. And a few months ago, the Spirit instructed me not to book regular guests unless I'm told to.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, the Spirit have me just speaking on certain topics.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, Michael, the show just started soaring. Last Wednesday, I did a show. Not yesterday, the one before last.
Mm-hmm.
Already, it's over 1,000 downloads on that show.
Fantastic.
And, you know, I have over 46,000 regular listeners. I have over 74 people who visit the site, on and off. So I would say the show is doing good, and based on what people are telling me, it is touching their lives, and that is what makes me happy.
Yeah, allowing the Spirit to shine through and let it guide you, I think, is one of the most powerful lessons anyone else can learn.
Mm-hmm. So true. So true.
Because
a lot of times, I don't know if you encounter that, but a lot of times you invite people, and they are really not concentrating on adding value to your listeners or to my listeners. They're about promoting themselves or their product or their service. So I'm very cautious because I'm here to serve the people and to impart in them, empower them, and for those who need reinvention to help them do that. So I am always obedient to what the Spirit tells me to do, even when I don't know what's going to happen, you know?
Mm-hmm. Did the Spirit guide you to go to Jamaica? I know you just came back from a very interesting visit down there.
To be honest, I went to Jamaica on what I thought was going to be a vacation, because I had not seen my son for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I went on what I thought was going to be a vacation. However, something happened. The first 2 days I was there, I accompanied my son to the dentist. And then I was standing outside the dentist's office waiting on a friend to come and get me. And a young man said to me, "Excuse me, ma'am, would you like a newsletter?" So I said, "Sure." I took it and I put it in my purse. And when I went home, I started reading the newsletter and realized I was standing outside of a church. I didn't even know it was a church because I had not peeked in there. So based on what I noticed from the newsletter they were doing, it sparked my interest, and I went there for the next 8 days. I went, and then I kept going back and going back and going back and going back. So for the first 8 days, I was just going there, Michael. I went to the beach once. And I didn't know why I was going there.
Mm-hmm.
However, one day they have services 7 a.m., 10 a.m., 3 p.m., and 7 p.m. And I found myself going for the first 8 days of my vacation. I was there for 19 days. The first 8 days of my vacation, I was going to that 10 o'clock service.
Mm-hmm.
My son couldn't understand why I was going. I didn't know either why I was going, but I just felt led to go back. One day when I walk out of the church, as I stepped outside waiting on my son to come and pick me up, the Spirit said to me, go to country. Country is the rural part where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
So when Givante came to get me, I sat in the car and I said to him, please go to the gas station because we are going to the country. He said, country, mommy? I said, yes. And he was appalled because normally I would tell him the night before what I was doing the following day. And all I had said to him was that I was going to go to the church service. I didn't say anything about country. So he said, okay. So we went to the country, and I, like, took him back down the journey of my childhood because he had not gone to where I was born and raised. He didn't know that. He didn't go there. Because we were living in Montego Bay. He was born in Kingston, which is the first and second city of the island of Jamaica. So I took him, I showed him where I used to walk as a child to go to the farmer's market, barefooted, and I show him step by step by step by step what used to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then I drove on the little trail to show him where I used to walk to go up to the mountains where I live. And he said, that's where you used to walk, mommy? I said, yes. And I said, you notice there are two cars parked there now. When I was a child growing up, no cars could not park there because, I said, people around here did not have cars. They had donkeys. Nobody had cars. So we turned back, and I said, okay, now I'm going to take you up to the church where I used to go as a child, and I'm going to show you my school because it's the same place. However, on my way up to Carmel, I stopped at the home of a lady by the name of Mrs. Richards, who used to be my parents' neighbor when we lived up on the mountains. Now they moved down to the center of the district. And I stopped there. No one was there, but a young man stopped. He asked me who I was looking for. I told him, and he said, oh, she died, but Miss Gwen, who is her daughter, teaches at the school, and she's there. So I went up there. Notice, Michael, that the shed that the rich people, when I was growing up, who used to ride their horses to church, they used to have a shed that they would put the horse with their water and go into service, come back, and they would ride their horses. That little shed was now converted into what they call an early childhood, which is a preschool building.
Right.
So
right.
They make that in a little room, and that's where the small kids go. And I'm so excited, and I'm showing Givante, oh, this used to be a horse shed. And we walked down the steps, and I said, oh, my God, Givante, that's my classroom right there. Oh, my heavens, that's the canteen. The canteen hasn't changed. And I rushed to the canteen. I looked in, and I said to the lady, I used to be a student here. I said, oh, my God, you have a stove. You have a gas stove. You have a freezer. You have a refrigerator. When I was coming here, you didn't have these things. You used to cook on a wood fire. She said, yes, ma'am, but we have electric now. I said, oh, my God. And I'm just looking and I'm pointing out my classroom to Givante. You know kids are curious, so I walked over now to the big, they call it little school and big school. So I walk over to the big school building and the kids saw a strange woman. So they began looking out to see. The teacher saw them looking, and the teacher walked out. Now this woman, Miss Richards, I told you about, who is teaching at the school, I had not seen this woman since she was probably 5 or 6 years old.
Wow.
Because her sister and I, we were age mate and things like that. I had not seen Vendolyn from she was that small. She walked out, and I said to her, good afternoon, ma'am. I'm looking for Miss Richards. And Michael, with tears in her eyes, she looked at me and said, I know you. Your name is Sweetie Clark. Your right name is Daphne Clark. I don't know what your married name is. And she looked up and she said, there is a God. I said, Gwen, is this you? She says, yes. And we hugged and we started crying.
Oh, Lord.
And I said, Gwen, how long you working here? She says, I'm here for 30 years. She says, over 30 years. She says, I went abroad, studied, do a lot of things to better myself, went to college, went back to university, and the Lord keep bringing me back here. And I don't know why. Right now, she says, I'm the acting principal because the principal retired. And I said to her, well, why don't you just apply for it if you're here so long? How is the school going? I asked her. She said, you know, things is different now because the kids now automatically when they get to 13 years old, they go to high school in Darlington. When I was growing up, Michael, we had to pass the common entrance exam to be admitted into high school unless you're from a wealthy family who would pay for you to go to high school.
Right.
So she pointed that out to me. And then she says, but there is one nagging problem here. I said, what is that, Gwen? I thought she was going to say drugs or something. She says, no. She said, Miss Sweetie, the kids are coming to school hungry. Michael,
wow. The
minute she said that to me, the Holy Spirit said, that's why I send you to country.
Yeah.
And the tears roll out my eyes. And I said, Gwen, that's why I was sent here today. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to commit to you that no child is going to come to school hungry. I said, I'm going to set up a breakfast program. Michael, I remember going to that same school poor. However, my father was a farmer, and the one thing I can remember, although I was poor, I wasn't going to school hungry because you know what used to happen? The dinner the night before, during the week, my family always make dumplings. Either fresh grated corn or flour, but dumplings are always a part of the dinner. Mm-hmm. And my mother would always leave a dumpling and some yellow yam. And in the morning, Michael, they get up early and they start that wood fire and they use the wood fire to warm the dumpling on it and scrape the black part off. And that's what my breakfast was. Sometimes if my father had cows that was giving milk, then they would make some cornmeal porridge with the grated corn. But when my mom would heat up the dumpling or the yam to give me, then my father would squeeze the sugar cane through a wooden mill that he made. Then my mother would warm it on the fire and put some mint, fresh mint in it. Mm-hmm. And that's what the hot beverage is. And you drink that. And I look around and I said, what is different now from when I was growing up there? These parents are now younger. They are more modernized. Nobody wants to work the farm. And they themselves, too, does not know how to look after the children.
Right. Yeah.
And I came back, Michael, and I spoke to a few people, and I tell you, one evening I was speaking to a friend of mine, and I had set up the event on Facebook, and by the time I was off the phone with him, I got an email on my Gmail address that he had donated $20.
Fantastic.
Another day I was driving downtown, and a lady flashed her lights on me and signaled me to pull over. She walked up to my car and said, I want to give you this. I have it in an account. But the Lord told me to close the account and give this to you to feed the little children in Jamaica. She handed me an envelope with $117.53.
Fantastic.
I was in town another day. A woman, I told her with tears in her eyes, she handed me $10, and another one of my past students mailed me a check for $20. So now my donation is up to $167.53.
Yeah, and $167.53 goes a lot further in Montego Bay, Jamaica than it does here.
Of course. It's only 100 kids there, in both the big school and the elementary school, the little school and the big school. To feed five kids, five days per week to feed 100 kids. It works out to less than $3 per breakfast, per child, per day. And I set up the event. I have event and GoFundMe that I'm looking for. And as I pray to God to help me to do this program, I was praying one day and the Spirit said to me, well, the kids need a cafeteria too, because right now the kids have to go to the canteen, get their meal through the little window, walk back to their classroom to eat it. Anything can happen between the canteen and the classroom. If they stumble over a rock, because the place is not paved or anything, if they stumble over a rock and that meal spill, that's it, because I don't think they are cooking enough to give them excess. So my goal is to hire a special cook for the breakfast. We want to go down and launch the breakfast, and we're going to get a nonprofit organization set up and website and all of that. But in the meantime, the children are hungry now. So while I'm getting all that in place, I need to feed the children now.
All right. Now, how can people go ahead and contribute? I know you have a website up called...
Yes. People can go to gofundme.com/1G, the number 4, M, and the number 3, 8. So that's www.gofundme.com/1G4M38. And they will click on that link, and it will just take them to the Carmel Moravian School Breakfast Feeding Program and Cafeteria Building Project.
Fantastic. So, all that information is up in chat, too. And plus, you can go ahead and actually find Daphne, Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson on Facebook. You're on Twitter now?
Yes, I'm on Twitter, at Dynamic Daphne. I'm on LinkedIn. I am all over the place. I'm also getting ready to do a launch midnight tomorrow night. I'm reorganizing my brand. I rightfully so am now positioning myself in the reinvention arena. And we are going to have some neat giveaways and everything. So people want to get more information on that, they can go to DaphneClarkHudsonEmpowers.com and just leave their email there, and they will get an update about the new launch, and they can just check into that and see some of the programs that I am doing.
Absolutely. And in case you're missing it, you can go ahead and just go to your Google search bar and type in Dr. Daphne. All this information goes ahead and comes up. But speaking of rebranding and change and stuff, how did the election sit with you?
Well, I tell you, I was super, super excited because, you know, it shows that people are listening and people are letting their voices heard. I heard a few radio show today and people are being stupid and obnoxious. The people have spoken.
Mm-hmm.
The people have spoken. And that is what people need to pay attention to. I am happy to see that people went out and cast their votes. They were not just sitting on the sidelines and say, well, I'm not going to vote. And I am very involved in what is called the Parent Leadership Training Institute here in Connecticut. And one of the things I always tell the parents, when it comes to election time, don't only focus on a party. Pay keen attention to the issues, how
right.
it will affect your family and especially your children.
Mm-hmm.
I said you must let your voice be heard. I don't think it would have made good sense that the president started something 4 years ago that he did not get an opportunity to finish. So I think America did the right thing by giving him another 4 years.
I do agree with you fully, and I do have a number of friends who are very, very strong Republican, and I understand their viewpoints and how they were doing the same. They were going out to vote for the issues as how they how it affects their lives, how it impacts their children's lives and everything. But I do find that, I mean, the coverage I watched was on CNN and stayed up and watched both speeches, Mr. Romney's and Barack Obama's. And I have to say, honestly, with all due respect, I understand it was a concession speak, but our returning president, his speech was so inclusionary. It included everybody from all walks of life, from all races, all creeds, all orientations. And I think we as a public now have to realize that thinking and considering how situations affect our own lives is not enough anymore. We have to understand that our actions are global. There's a global market now. And we have to realize that along party lines, there are civilizations that such like in Montego Bay, where gas stoves are, you know, few and far between. So I really do think
Westmoreland.
I'm sorry, but we have to start thinking globally. And I really do think that you know, with the re-election of President Obama, that I think we're actually going to end up doing that.
Exactly. You know, I have a very dear friend who called me up the week leading up to election, and she was not sure who to vote for. So I asked her a couple thought-provoking questions.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing it doesn't matter how I rephrase the question and come back, her only reason for not wanting to support President Obama was because he support gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to her, and what else? She said, nothing else, but don't I know the Bible is a sin? So I asked her, I said, you've been a Christian for a long time, and I think you're a believer. So I said, supporting gay marriage, I said, what magnitude of sin is that?
Mm-hmm.
She said, what am I asking her? I said, I think that's a straightforward question.
Mm-hmm.
I said, is it a big sin or a little sin? She said, don't you know sin is sin? I said, good. So I said, no, for you judging him for supporting that, and all the other judgmental things that you have said during this conversation, it is just as sin as how you are labeling him for supporting gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to her, wake up and smell the coffee. I said,
yeah.
We might live in the 0677 area zip code, but I said, we are in a global world now. So we can't just live in our little cocoons anymore. We have to expand. And I said, you know something? Supporting gay marriage is not the biggest issue for me. Because I said, you know something? If the straight people I know was as loving and as kind and as respectful to me as the gay people I know, I would have been living in a pretty world.
Daphne, as always, you speak a mouthful. We're running out of time. If you want to go ahead and help out the children in Jamaica, go to www.gofundme.com/1G4M38. Also, check out Daphne's relaunch tomorrow at midnight at www.daphneclarkhudsonempowers.com. Daphne, as ever, always delightful chatting with you. Please, please continue to come back as often as you want. I adore you. You know, I'm so proud to call you friend, my dear, dear girl.
Thank
Absolutely.
You, my friend. I'll be staying on to listen to the other amazing guests and just say speedy recovery to the news lady for me and tell her I can't wait for the three of us to get together to rock and roll. And
you know we
will. Thank you so much, Barb, and I love you. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you, doll. You take care. Talk to you soon. That was Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson, a fantastic empowerment life coach and radio personality here on the Blog Talk Radio Network with her show is called A New Day Show. So I see Rexton Lee is up in the switchboard, so we're going to start off with a little bit of music, more music from Rexton Lee. This is Wild and Reckless. When we get back, Rexton's going to be in the house.
Oh, let me tell you this story about this girl I used to meet.
Tim lived on a farm and rocking them cowboy boots. A brunette with long legs, I tell you, she was something else. Man, if she only knew that I've been dreaming about the things that young boys do. Hoping she was thinking the same thing too. Well, I was just a family boy, her daddy's fear, her mama's joy. If I could make her realize that she would get with me, I'm sure she'd see that I'd be everything she could ever need.
And my friend, this show has been months and months in the making. I'm so happy. Welcome to At Home with Victoria, buddy.
How y'all doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Really just digging your tunage here, friend. How are you?
I'm good, brother. I'm good enjoying this colder weather down here in Alabama. So
yeah, absolutely. Are you back in Alabama right now?
Yeah, I am. I had a couple nights off, so I'm back at home hanging out, grilling out, actually. That's, you know, over here, hanging out with some friends and, you know, just enjoying the peace and quiet of a, you know, a fall night. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's what is the temperature down in Alabama?
I think right now it's probably upper 40s right now. So.
Yeah, that's where we're at too. It is November. You know, what the hell do you want? It's supposed to be kind of cold.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Absolutely. But let's go back into your past. You've been a clown. You've been. Basically, the kid that was always joking around, age 13, something really bad happened to your family, total devastation, house fire. Tell us about that.
Lord, man, it was in the eighth grade. Thought it was a small kitchen fire because I guess they didn't want to freak me out with it. But I got there and we had, I wouldn't wish that on anybody, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you hear all kind of, you know, devastation and stuff, but to see everything you got melted. You know, it was surreal, but, you know, fortunately I was probably too young to really understand, you know, the grand scheme of what was going on with it. Mm-hmm. But the good thing that came out of it was I had a guitar left out of it, and I wasn't even interested in music really at the time. I was a sports guy, but guitar survived, and I ended up learning how to play on that guitar, and you know, it's kind of been a blessing ever since. So it's like there's a huge plan, you know, in the making for it.
Yeah. You're totally self-taught in the guitar, correct?
I am self-taught. It started off in high school, you know, just something to impress the ladies with, you know. You know, it's kind of the cool thing to do, you know.
Yeah.
But I got so much more out of it once I really, you know, dug my heels into it. And you know, I haven't looked back since with it. I've never questioned anything I've ever done with it. It's been a blessing, you know. It's my escape from reality, I guess you could say. I know it's very cliche and everything to say, but it really is. So,
well, you got to get something through because, you know, what was it like growing up in Alabama? Was it is it very much like Nashville?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I grew up in a small community. I mean, Alexander City, it's, you know, our population is probably about 12,000, you know, 13,000, right, somewhere in that. We're a textile town, you know, Russell Corporation, which makes jerseys and all kinds of miscellaneous clothing product, you know. It's just a mill town. It was laid back, fun, you know, knew everybody. You can't go anywhere, you know, couldn't do anything without your mama knowing before you got home, you know. Yeah. You went out absolutely drinking that night or hanging out or you did something, you knocked over a mailbox or, you know, something crazy, you know, high school kids do. She knew about it by the time you got home. So,
yeah. Well, high school kids now are too busy on Facebook, so they're not knocking anything over.
Ain't that crazy? That's the craziest. I am the most non-technology savvy guy, I think, out there. I can't just grasp it. There's way too many. You know, I think there's too much variety anyways. It needs to be just certain one things of everything. You know, you walk into a convenience store, you got 50 kind of candy bars. You just need one.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
I
moved here from Canada 14 years ago, and I was amazed by, and I'm not saying that we don't have it in Canada, but we have, I don't understand why there's 50 different kinds of toilet paper. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
It serves one purpose.
It does the same thing. Yeah, absolutely. But
it serves one purpose. Everybody's got to do it. Why you got 50 kinds? Just get one and just blow up.
Exactly.
With it.
Yeah. Have a, yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about the music. The songs we're listening to tonight, are they actually on an EP right now? Where can people find them?
We, actually, I just got the proofs today for my album. My album will be out hopefully the 16th of this month.
Fantastic.
On iTunes, rexfinley.com. It's been, I signed with RCA when I was 19, so 5 years ago when I first got going up in Nashville, I was fortunate enough to get to cut a lot of songs. I had time with Sony Tree up there. I was writing songs for them for a while. And, you know, it's just a compilation of songs I've got to be a part of. I've recorded over my career, you know, that I've, you know, been putting it off and then putting it off. I'm like, oh, I don't need an album. I don't need an album. I'm just going to play live. And I need an album finally. So I just finally just sucked it up. It's like, you know, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to bury myself in and make it right. So it's been about a 2-month process for me trying to get everything right, and proud of it. You know, I can't wait for it to come out.
Congratulations signing with Sony.
Oh, thank you. That was a big time, man. I was, you know, too young to really know what was going on again, you know, and the whole RCA deal happened for me, and, you know, that kind of took me by surprise when the Sony deal happened. And I'm just, you know, I've been real blessed and fortunate to get to do what I've done in my short time.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go back to the music. This is Rexton Lee with Long As You're Gone. When we come back, more with Rexton Lee. Hold on.
Time and peace will come, swipe the preacher's sin. Pain's only temporary, at least that's what I've read. I've been trying everything, something new every day, to get on with my life since you've gone away. I bought a brand new in my old car, got some memories that fill them both, kept beating on my heart. People think I'm crazy, 'cause every time they call, even though they know I'm there, I pretend nobody's home. All this game keep going on. As long as you're gone, I won't ever be the same. Even when the sun shines, I can still feel the rain. It's like my whole life stopped right on the dime.
get over you if I held another time. But it never seems to ease the loneliness inside. And I remember what the preacher said, and I hope he ain't lying. As long as you're gone, I won't ever be the same. Even when the sun shines,
buddy. You're writing all your own music now, is that correct?
Oh yeah, man, I've been writing the whole career, you know. Started writing at age 18, and you know, it's a good way to ease my mind of some stuff, so.
Yeah, I can see. And I can actually see why you're taking a relaxing trip now, because I'm looking at your tour schedule, and I mean, you'll be in Alabama, Fat Daddy's on tomorrow, the 9th, I think it's 10 o'clock you're playing at, Saturday at the Tailgate Party in Auburn University. Saturday, how you doing the Wagon Wheel and the Auburn University gig on the same time?
I think the Saturday is a, I think my day schedule is like a 2 to 5 show. And then we'll jet down to, we'll drive down to Gadsden about 3 hours away and rock the house in the honky-tonk. So, you know, it's just, I try to stay as busy as possible with it, you know, especially with the record coming out, trying to stay, you know, kind of local to the hometown kind of fan base, and really get the album out there and just let it start, you know, hopefully networking and spreading by itself.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking Alabama, Georgia. When are you heading back to Nashville? I know a lot of people are going to want to ask that.
I was up last week. Usually I don't play too often up in Nashville. I've been up there. I've been back and forth for 5 years. I've lived up there twice. I'm about to move back up, and it's you know, the few gigs I have played there, it's just been kind of pick up things where people have called saying, hey man, can you, you know, come fill in and hang out. And that I should be up though. I'm thinking about playing up there, you know, coming up in the next 2 months or so. Once I get down here situated with everything, you know, start spreading out up north. You know, I go west and east and south a pretty good bit, but I haven't really started expanding north yet. So I think, you know, Nashville's a good spot to start that with.
No, absolutely. Actually, the guest we had on before, Rexton, Dr. Daphne, has a show up in the Blog Talk Radio Network, and I'm seeing here in the chat room that she'll be approaching you for a show date in the very, very near future. So she's loving your tunage, and she's a great person. You'll love her and everything. But so let me get this straight. So you're calling Alabama basically your home right now?
Right. I've been back down. I came home. I usually come home. I live my hometown's on Lake Martin, which is one of the largest man-made lakes. And so, you know, summertime, you know, I gotta get on the lake. I'm like a lake bum, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
So,
Who are you listening to now? I mean, with the CMAs just ended and everything like that, who are you listening to now on your little radio?
You know, this is weird. I'm a huge classical music fan. I don't listen to country radio like I should. I really don't. I'm more tuned into the Alabama Network, which is, you know, all classical music. But I don't know. Somebody asked me that the other night. Who's your favorite new artist out there? And I was like, whoa, you know, Dustin Lynch. He's a new cat on Broken Bow Records. I like his stuff. You know, he's country. You know, I like it. You know, I have I guess I'm more of my style would be more of an energy type. Country music. He's more of a traditional style, so I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah. Hmm. Let's go to election. What was the election climate like in Alabama? I'm so curious to know.
It was hectic.
Really?
Yeah, Alabama is, southern, and it was a lot of tension in the air. I was playing out that night, and just the reaction with the decision on, the state's in, and the nation's in, it was pretty intense. But I honestly try to stay out of it as much as possible. I've got my opinion like everybody else does. But, I was happy to see what had happened. I'm proud to say I'm a Democrat, and that's how I roll. And, I was happy to, see it happen like it did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this election was seriously a little uglier than any election I've seen before. I am one of those people on social media because it's part of my job. But, it was certainly a little more frightening than it needed to be. People got a little more passionate.
They did. But the good thing was, I know especially down here, I can't speak for up there because I wasn't up there, but, a lot of young voters were voting.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them were down here, 18, 19-year-old kids out there voting, and that's good. I didn't care what people, I was like, I don't care who you vote for, just vote. Get your opinion, put your two cents in. If not, don't talk to me about it. Don't complain to me about it if you didn't vote.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. Now, you got the album coming out on the 16th and stuff. You're going to be touring for a while. What happens after that? You just go back into the studio, start recording?
I'll go straight back into the studio. I'm ready for number two right now. Ready to start on number two. I've got about, I believe, half of it done already. I've already wrote. But I'm writing a lot. I'm back and forth from Nashville here, writing as much as I can. Still got a bunch of, good buddies of mine that are cruising, getting hits. And so I'm just, I think my goal right now is, to get a hit, get somebody, an artist, an established artist to get a song and get a cut. That'd be my number one goal right now, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. Any collaborations on the new album, or are you just doing it all solo?
I've got a couple in mind. We just wrote me and two other Alabama natives, Brad Cotter from Auburn, Alabama, and a girl named Tiffany Goss who writes for Curb. We've been writing a pretty good bit, and she's an amazing, amazing singer, and we just wrote a big duet. And I'm thinking it's going to be on the next one, and who knows? I may get a fresh voice on there with me, but that's not far-fetched at all, doing a duet with somebody. That'd be awesome.
Who would be your Utopia duet?
I'll ask you a question, man. You're kind of stopping over here. honestly, I'd probably go old school and say Faith Hill.
See, yeah.
Faith Hill would be a good one, a good, female vocal next to me. I think it'd be fun, and I think we'd come up with something pretty cool.
Oh, absolutely. Of course, Tim would be there with the shotgun just to double-check to make sure everything was fine.
I paid to go see him on this last big tour, so I can maybe use that as leverage, but then I bought him, so you can't get too mad at me.
How is he live? I've heard lots of fantastic things about Tim.
I've a lot of artists that have disappointed. That's one thing I've always been scared to people seeing me live. I've never want nobody to go, well, he sounds a whole lot different, live than he does on his record. And I think I've always kind of prided myself on sounding as good, if not better, than my record.
Right.
And when I went and saw Kenny Chesney and Tim McGraw for the first time, I was, it was great. I was blown away with it. It actually surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as near with the technology that, is out on the road now with Pro Tools and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I'm all for technology, but I do find sometimes the flash and circumstance can take away and detract from the actual, actual vocals and stuff.
I guess I'm too traditional. I think, I believe that if a singer can sing, let him sing. If a singer can't sing, then don't sing. That's just my personal beliefs with it.
Yeah. Buddy, we're closing in on a little bit of time here, but I again wanted to thank you. And this is a funny story, actually, Rexton, because I've been waiting for you to come on, and we've had difficulty with scheduling and stuff like that. And for some reason, I had thought that we actually had a show before. And so I was going through the archives, and here it was simply that I had overprepared for the show one time when you had to cancel. And I was going through your pictures. And my goodness, buddy, you're all grown up now.
I am. It's the road. It's gray hair.
Yeah.
It's stress. It does it. It's like the presidency. You know, they showed a picture of President Obama when he first went into office. Then they showed a picture of him after he won the second time the other night, Tuesday night, and it's, you know, complete. There's more wrinkles. There's more gray hair.
Oh, yeah.
The whole nine yards, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that position's got to stress the hell out of you. You know, I think it's much more than...
Yeah, of course it does. I mean,
yeah.
It would me. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Oof. I don't even know. I could even imagine it. But I can't thank you enough. I can't thank you all enough for, you know, having me come on and spending my songs. That means a ton to me. It really does.
My absolute pleasure. And please feel free to go ahead and send me any more music we can go ahead and stick in the queue and play at will, because we're big fans of you here at Home with Victoria, so please do come back when you got anything else new coming down the pipe, because we'll be spinning you all the time, okay, buddy?
I sure will. Thank you all so much, man.
Thank you, buddy. Take care, Rexton.
All right, buddy, you too.
Rexton Lee, you can find him more at www.rextonlee.com. Nice guy, great tunage. I can't. I'm so happy we finally got to meet. Anyways, I want to give thanks to everybody up in chat. Amy Vodder is finally joining us from Boston. Dynamic Daphne is still with us from Milford, Connecticut. And Marby from Nashville. Daphne, don't worry. I'll go ahead and I'll connect you and Rexton together for Sunday's show. Let me just go quickly to his tour dates and check and see what he's got on Sunday. So, and I don't see a show for Sunday, so maybe you're going to be in luck. Who knows? Anyways, I want to thank you for listening to another edition of Home with Victoria. Feel free to go ahead and download a free podcast on iTunes, and we're going to close the show out with a little more Rexton Lee. This is his song, One True Love Long. One True Love, sorry, long version. Anyways, good luck to Victoria on that tooth, and have a great night, everybody. Take care.
It's a first kiss, a summer night. Two glasses and some homemade wine that make a memory you can't forget. It's a dirt road, daddy's truck, us sitting on the back just looking up at the stars that fill the nighttime sky. I look at her and tell her everything I feel inside. She looks at me with those pretty brown eyes and says, a true love comes along only once and then it's gone. So when it comes, you better hang on. And I know you'll be the one to be here when all is said and done. Now thank the Lord above for sending me my one true love. It's that one day you say I do, the bills come and the kids do too. Well, that lets you see what you're really made of. It's some gray hair in 40 years, stand together through pain and tears, that makes this life worth living for. I still look at her and tell her everything I feel inside. She still looks at me with those pretty brown eyes and says, a true love comes along only once and then it's gone. So when it came, I'm glad I hung on. And I knew one to be here when all is said and done. Now thank the Lord above for sending me my one true love. I look at you and I think to myself, I've never felt so alive. All it takes is the touch of your skin. A true love comes along only once and then it's gone. So when it comes, you better hang on. And I know you'll be the one to be here when all is said and done. I thank the Lord above. I still thank the Lord above for sending me my one true love.
been listening to At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelly Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.